This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Our first story is to do with the confusion and clarification that surrounded the idea of whether or not there would be public hearings to do with the KL City Plan, specifically the KL City Plan 2040. So it was earlier reported by Bernama that Federal Territories Minister Khalid Samad said that there will be no public hearings for the new KL plan.
The point made seemed to be that any project approved under the KL City Plan 2040 will no longer use Rule 5 of the Federal Territory Planning Act 1982, which allows for public participation in planning and development control by the government.
So, of course, people started wondering, would this mean that there would be no public hearings at all for the ungazetted KL City Plan 2040, especially because the gazettement is expected to happen relatively soon, by the end of next year, and also because the gazettement of the 2020 plan, you might remember, was not without controversy. When it occurred, there was quite a lot of public uproar. There were concerns about the errors that were included in the plan, the fact that nobody felt that they had enough time or had been heard regarding the errors or issues that were within it, and just a lot of very heated conversations around it.
Well, to many stakeholders, it just came off as a surprise that that version of the 2020 plan was eventually gazetted, as opposed to the one where they had worked on extensively, but then they kind of stopped updating it from the past administration because after that, there were just too many changes and it just felt like they didn't quite know what to do with it.
And so when you say that version there, what we're talking about with the 2020 plan is what happened was neither the 2008 draft plan nor the 2013 revised plan was the one that was actually submitted in the end, but a 2015 version, which again just did not seem to be fully in order at the time. I think people have counted 273 errors, something like that. So anyway, that is the 2020 plan. So to do with the confusion surrounding 2040, here's where we're at.
So he's clarified that what he means...
He being the minister.
Yes, Khalid Samad. So he said that there will still be public hearings before the next plan is gazetted. And there's already been 6 pre-consultation sessions that's been conducted with KL MPs, DBKL's advisory board, government agencies, professional bodies, NGOs and youth organisations. But once the KL 2040 plan is gazetted, and so long as any of the developments follow the plan, he views public hearings as being redundant.
So I can see the logic in this, right? The idea is that we do all the discussion and all the view airing before we actually put the plan into official motion. And so after that, you already know what's happening and we need to be able to proceed quickly.
Yeah.
So I can appreciate that, but I think where we're at, as we always tend to be, is communication. I mean, this was so confusing. Even trying to understand the story with its various KL City plans floating in the news space, it was firstly, woof. But on top of that, I think people react very poorly when you tell them there will be no more public hearings.
Yeah, your views, we don't need your views anymore.
Yes, and it's also part of the spirit of Malaysia Baru after 1 year, I guess, that, hey, you know, we want it to be part of this. We want it to be able to see with transparency where our city is headed, what is going to be developed, what isn't, what sections are going to go where, is there still going to be a green lung? You know, there are so many reasons why people would want to be able to at least see a city plan or to be able to participate actively in it. And like I said, I appreciate that you don't want 2,000 people at a time weighing in on every single plan, whether or not it should go ahead. But to say in any capacity or in a confusing way that after this, we won't be talking to you anymore, it's just difficult to hear.
I think for stakeholders, it definitely sounds a bit off, because what could have been taken out and what could have been implied, though of course later he clarified, was that let's say something goes wrong with the execution. Sure, we had all these talks during the planning process of it, the drafting process of it, but then once you start doing it, once you start executing it, something could go wrong. And even if it doesn't necessarily contravene with the plan, but maybe the execution was poorly done, does that mean that I will no longer have any channel to complain to.
And when it comes to this particular minister making the statement, I think the reason why it comes off a little bit worrying is because of the baggage of the KL City Plan 2020. If
yes.
that had gone perfectly smoothly, I don't think people would be so inclined to say, why are you cutting us out of discussions? But because that, like you said earlier, felt like it had happened a little bit undercover, a little bit quickly, people are more inclined to be like, hey, don't cut us out.
Yeah, he's working on bad faith. He doesn't necessarily have a good track record so far.
Not with this particular thing, no.
Yes. So
talk to us. We want to know whether or not these public hearings matter to you. Would you participate in them if someone came up to you and said, would you like to sit down as a stakeholder for the KL City Plan 2040? Does that interest you? Call us and let us know. 7733 2900. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're crossing over to Derek Fernandez, lawyer and Petaling Jaya City Councillor. Derek, thanks for joining us. Let's start with what a public hearing is and what it's meant to achieve.
The public hearing referred to in Rule 5 of the Federal Territory Planning Act of 1984 and the rules made under that act basically is an opportunity given by law to persons who are affected by development proposals being made to give their views, to object where they feel that such proposed development adversely affects them. Now, in Kuala Lumpur, traditionally, that right was given to any application for development, but the rules were then amended to make it a lot more narrower under the Barisan National Administration, to only allow a neighbouring landowner the right to object in circumstances where the proposal is to increase the plot ratio or to change the particular use of land which is being proposed to be made in conflict or different from what the plan for that area is.
Right, and how effective have these public hearings been in the past?
Okay, for a long time now, the Rule 5 hearings conducted in DBKL were, in short, a sham. And the reason why was because often residents, when they read a notice in the paper saying that there is a particular application to increase the development intensity on the neighbouring land, you know, and some of them go quite high, they request for certain basic documentation, such as, has a traffic impact assessment been done? Can we have a look at it? Whether there's a development impact proposal report, which is a report that states how this development will affect the surrounding area, so that they are in an informed position when they go to object. And for a long time now, DBKL refused to give them these documentation. The second is there's often cases where conflict of interest is involved. There have been instances where the landowner may not even be DBKL. It may be a company, for instance, like Yayasan Wilayah Perketuan, where the Federal Territory Minister and the mayor sat on those committees. And so when an application for a development order is made, DBKL is chairing the meeting when the controlling person, that is the mayor, and in fact his boss, the minister, are sitting on the board of the very company who is the landowner in the development application. So there have been cases like that, and I think one case ended up in court. So in many instances, residents are totally frustrated because they felt that the hearings are totally unfair. And this is compounded further by the fact that the present Pakatan Harapan government passed a KL plan which contained numerous high-intensity development changes in zoning that were never displayed for public hearing and gone through the public objection process, as alleged by the residents, and they were just changed. And now this document now becomes the base upon which all future development applications are made and measured again. And of course, they feel totally frustrated. How are they going to object, first of all, against something that is already been put in the plan, which was never put to them? And in fact, Rule 5 doesn't even allow them to have a right to object unless there's a change in intensities of plot ratios or, in fact, change of use of land. So, yeah, certainly they are frustrated. Certainly, Rule 5 is, in its present form under the Barisan National Administration, is totally unfair to the residents. And it is sad that the Pakatan Harapan government, which claimed to pride itself on public participation, democratization of local government, to give a bigger role of the public, to be people-friendly, unfortunately has done very little in giving better rights to participate in planning and development control, and worse still, have defended the policies of the previous administrations in relation to planning and development control in Kuala Lumpur.
So looking ahead to the draft of the KL 2040 plan, is there any confidence that the public hearing process this time will be more transparent and constructive?
I mean, there's always expectation because the public voted the government where they talked about reformation and change and moving forward with new values and ideals. Unfortunately, if you check with the KL public, most of them have no more confidence that this is ever going to happen because of what had happened with the 2020 plan, because of what had happened in relation to even now. It's so easy for them to give documentations, have a more transparent hearing, a less biased hearing, to just reform it administratively. They can do it overnight, and they have not seen that after a year. So what is there to hope for when public have had to resort to going to court in numerous cases because they are totally frustrated? And one would not expect the public to have to take the new government to court when it was what they were doing to the old government. People expect change. It's change they have not seen. It's change that has not been reflected in policies now.
Nevertheless, is there an argument for doing away with public hearings, even if it's only for plans that align with the KL City plan? Is this to save time and resources?
There's no rationale to justify it. I do not say this is what the law says. You can just change the Rule 5 tomorrow if you want to say all applications, let's have public hearing. Let's let the public participate. I mean, you don't have to agree with the public, but you have to give them a chance to participate. You can just change this and you can move forward with the reform agenda. You get all these politicians talking of reform agenda. Even today, the Attorney General has issued a statement saying that he hopes civil society continue to pressure the government for reform. I mean, I don't need to say it, right? It means that there's no reform taking place, at least not to the expectations of the public. It can be done far, far faster than that. It requires administrative policy change, which can be done very, very fast.
Derek, thanks for speaking to us. That was Derek Fernandez, lawyer and Petaling Jaya City Councillor, explaining a little bit more about the process of public hearings when it comes to city plans. And this is, of course, to do with the fact that FT Minister Khalid Samad has said that when it comes to the 2040 city plan, while there are already six hearings in line for to kind of look through the drafts and participate in terms of what's going to happen, once it's gazetted, then that changes. And projects that go ahead, so long as they're in line with the plan, will go ahead without public hearings.
Yeah, but there will still be, in the meantime, public hearings that they have yet to create, I think. But those were just pre-consultative sessions. So I think the concern I have here is if, let's say, they do follow through with this, that just means that whatever execution, even on paper, it looks according to procedure. But if, let's say, something in the planning goes awry, you can't really have a channel to say, hey, something's not right here.
Yeah, basically what's going to happen is you will only learn that you've made a mistake once you've made it.
Yeah,
you're not going to be able to anticipate the mistake as it's beginning to be made because, hey, it's part of the plan and you already approved it. I guess the pre-approval stamp is a little bit concerning.
It is, and it doesn't mean... It's not like an Apple agreement where you kind of say, I agree to everything and can just change the terms whenever you want.
Yes, although, of course, I think people would be telling you, you should be reading that agreement also.
Though,
who has time?
Yeah, who has time?
Wing Fat on WhatsApp says, who wants to suddenly wake up the next morning with a new highway or KL MRT3 in front of your balcony or above your house?
Yeah, that is one concern, though. I guess then the minister could come back and just say, well, it was already in the plan. But with regards to that, I just wonder how transparent they need to be during these public hearing sessions, how much info is actually given to the participants.
Yeah, and so that comes back to our earlier question, right? Would you participate in the first place in these public hearings? Would you take that initiative, especially since we're talking about KL and we are, for the time being, still a Klang Valley-based station? We'd like to ask you, you know, would you want to participate in these plans? Would you actually take that initiative and do it? Also, how do you feel about... once it's approved, it's just approved. Call us and let us know, 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. Lee Yun says, residents' feedback to the plan may not all be taken up by DBKL, hence the right to be heard needs to be safeguarded, even with a gazetted plan.
Yeah, and that should be a continuous conversation as opposed to one that just ends once you say, okay, well, we've got all the points of views, we haven't really taken into consideration some, but it's gone through anyway.
Also, who's deciding who the stakeholders are?
Yeah.
To be, you know, who's inviting stakeholders and who are those invitations going out to?
And whether you have access to it, right? Like when they were trying to do the Taman Tugu project, they were extensively getting public feedback. But some of the restrictions, perhaps not in this specific case or this specific example of Taman Tugu, was that they never really got the chance to go to these places and it wasn't really made aware as to how you can attend these public consultation sessions.
Let us know. Would you participate in a city plan hearing? Does it matter to you? Call us at 777-332-900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.